Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda.
To player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to be recapping that 4-0 stomping that America had over in Foxborough, Massachusetts. We'll get you guys ready for the second leg as we'll look at to what exactly America needs to do and whether or not they learn from the mistakes of their past. And hopefully they're able to close out the series against New England. And yeah, we got plenty and plenty of American news to talk about. There's a rumor going on from, I wouldn't say a very credible source, about some Spanish midfielder coming to replace our current Spanish midfielder. We'll talk about all of that and much, much more. And to help me do all of that, let me introduce today's co-host. It is none other than the man himself, Mr. Chris Rivera. Chris, how are we doing?
What's up, man? What's up, man? Feeling good. Allergy season. I don't know how you said that last time I was on, but it's been very, very bad for me when it comes to allergies. Other than that, you know, I've been good. Enjoying the weekend, enjoying these games. And you know, I'm ready to talk about this upcoming game.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm assuming enjoying the eclipse as well?
Oh, no, bro. In high school, I stared at it, and it was like a horrible experience. So I avoided it this time.
All right. Well, you know what they say. It comes around ever so often. And the man who also comes around very ever so often on the podcast, it is none other than Christian Rosendo, the man himself, the man that was at Boston, the man who almost missed the game, by the way. Christian, how are you? And you're muted.
My bad. Thank you for letting me know that. I'm doing well. I hope all you guys are doing well. Hope you guys had a good weekend. Excited to talk about America today, recapping the past couple of games we just had. Looking forward to the upcoming games. That day last week was a little bit stressful. I'll explain everything when we get to it from start to finish. But it was definitely all worth it at the end, because I got to see us put up a pretty good performance, and I think it was needed, it was expected, and I'm excited to get into it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if Christian was a rare occurrence, well, our next following co-host is even more so. I know AP Jr. in the chat is going to be going livid, but let's introduce our third and final co-host for tonight. It is none other than the main man himself, Mr. Cowboy Dan Dylan Jimenez. Dylan, how are you, my friend?
Doing good. Just wish I had more than 24 hours in the day at the moment, but you know,
don't we all?
Neither here or there. So yeah, don't we all? But you know, we're here. I know it's been a minute for me, but you know, I'm excited to finally be back and you know, talk shop with y'all.
Absolutely, and boy, plenty of shop to talk about. Indeed, we have obviously CONCACAF Champions Cup to talk about, and then of course a couple of rumors going on, and then we'll dive into what America needs to do in order to just kind of secure themselves and put themselves in a very good position to kind of succeed and go on to the next round, which most likely will be Pachuca, a.k.a. Papa Pachuca. So we'll see how that goes for us. But first, got to take it one game at a time. And gentlemen, if you guys are ready, let's talk first leg, Foxborough. I want to go with you first, Christian, because you were at the game. Talk to us a little bit about your experience about potentially missing the game, right? Flight getting delayed, rushing to get an Uber, making it right before kickoff. Like, talk to us a little bit about that game day experience.
Yeah, so it was just kind of last minute, because we didn't know if we were able to get off of work on time to kind of go attend the game, right? So it was everything last minute. I guess that should have been the first sign that things maybe wouldn't have panned out so nicely for us. So it all started back here in New York on the day of the game. There was actually traffic getting to the airport. So we were actually, we thought we were going to miss the flight there, then and there. Because, you know, if you guys ever been to an airport, getting through security and everything, it's sometimes going to be a hassle. And so, but thankfully we got through it in a decent time, and we got there between, I think maybe 10 to 15 minutes before the plane was about to take off. But then the flight got delayed for an hour because the previous flight, was late coming to Newark Airport. So we were delayed for like an hour and a half, right? But this time I was going to arrive at New England at around, I want to say around 6:30, 7 o'clock. So finally got on the plane or whatever. We landed. It was about a 10 to 7. By the time we got out of the airport, got an Uber, it was like 7:10-ish. So we were like, okay, fine. You know, it was a 40-minute drive to the hotel we were going to stay at. So, okay, fine. You know, we get there to 8. You know, we, you know, put our things down. The thing was only like 5 minutes away. So, you know, we should be good to go, right? It was a 30-minute walk and a 5-minute drive. So we're like, let's just get an Uber, get there quick, experience or whatever. You know, get a drink or something before we go sit down and enjoy the game. We get to the Uber, and for some reason, I don't know why this happened. Maybe it was my fault looking back at it, but I'm assuming there was a Gillette Stadium hotel, and that's a different address than the actual Gillette Stadium. So I'm not sure if I put the address in wrong, because looking back, I didn't, or I don't know what happened in that exchange. So the Gillette Stadium hotel was like 20 minutes away from the actual stadium, which seemed weird to me, like when we were heading like 10 minutes in, because I was like, wait, I thought this was like a 5-6 minute drive. Like, why are we not there yet? And then he was like, oh no, you guys put in the Just Stadium Hotel. And I was like, no, but you literally asked us where we're going. I said, we're going to Gillette Stadium. It's like a 5 minute ride. He's like, yeah, I get you guys there. Don't worry. Long story short, we talked it over. We made him go back to the stadium. We got to the stadium like around 8:45. The kickoff was at 9. So we got to our seat literally like 15 minutes before the match was about to start. And it was raining, it was cold. I only had a sweater because I underestimated how cold it was actually gonna be. So I was freezing my butt off for the whole match, but I mean it was worth it. You know, I got to see, to be right next to the whole America bench. I like a few remarks with the players. It was kind of funny. Got to see Ramon Juarez there, Brian Rodriguez, Kevin Alvarez, right? So it was a fun experience. Thankfully we won. Thankfully we saw a lot of goals in the game. So that's what made it worth it. But despite the whole day, I think it was a good ending.
Well, it sounds like it was quite the adventure.
Would you rather freeze or put on a Patriots hoodie on?
No, I'd rather freeze.
the commitment. I like it. Well, that was Christian's overall experience over there at Foxborough. Gentlemen, now let's talk about the game in it as a whole. Dylan, coming into this one, how confident were you that America was going to get the job done? Whenever it comes to these type of games, I always kind of reminisce to that terrible, terrible evening that we had in Canada when we first started podcasting, and we covered the Toronto and America matchup, and we thought, well, we're definitely the better team here, and somehow we let it all slip. So, you know, ghosts of those kind of haunt me a little bit. So I was a little bit worrisome coming into this game just because of the way that we closed out against Chivas and because of the ghosts of the past. How confident were you coming into this one?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree too, because I think when you look at the two tournaments, I mean, when you look at the league and then you look at CONCA, I think this team's on two different forms. And, you know, like you said, the way things ended against Chivas, you know, it wasn't the best. It wasn't the greatest. So I think in some ways, you know, I was a tad bit worried because, I mean, you go back even to the Real Esteli game. You know, obviously on paper, you know, we were the better team, but, you know, that first leg, you know, didn't really play like it, losing that first leg. And then back at the Azteca, you know, I still think there were some things that could have been better, but, you know, able to get the win and then obviously advance. So, you know, the form for CONCA to me hasn't been the greatest. And so I was really kind of, a little, I wouldn't say nervous, but, you know, just, you know, not solid in the foundation of confidence for this team, because to me, this team has been pretty consistent at being inconsistent, because we say one thing when it comes to the weekend, but and then it's the complete opposite, and then CONCA comes, and then we're confident, but it just doesn't turn out the way we want it to be. So I say my confidence was pretty shaky, but I was confident that we would get some type of result. But this wasn't the result I was expecting either.
Yeah, I think the result definitely took all of us by surprise. Well, I would assume all of us. I don't think anybody was predicting a 4-0. Maybe a 3 if you were adventurous before, I think was a little bit outlandish. Chris, talk to me about the surprise that was the starting 11. You were on the chat when I had Greg on from the Revolution recap, where I kind of spoke in regards to maybe Jardine weathering the storm a little bit here, sidelining Zendejas, sidelining Fidalgo, just because they were barely coming back from that injury. And lo and behold, just kind of like you mentioned in the comments, they both start. I mean, was that really a shocker to you? It was a bit to me. I'm not going to lie. I didn't expect them to start, especially in that cold, rainy environment. But kind of your thoughts on the starting 11.
I think your thought of thinking is very logical. But Jardine has shown that he doesn't go with logic, right? We look at all these games and we're talking about, we should rest this guy. We should not play this guy. We should do all these things. And what happens? We end up, you know, playing them. Whether they play 90 minutes with their national team, they're starting the next day, you know, stuff like that. And it's frustrating for me because it just feels like you're kind of putting all this effort very early on and then it could really be bad in the end. But, hey, man, he made us champions that way, right? Can't really question him if it works out for him. So I wasn't necessarily surprised. I kind of said, you know what, he's going to play them even if they're at 70%. They have to really be injured in order not to play. And like I said, I just expected it. To me, it was just one of those things where it's like, you know, the injuries probably weren't as bad in like for him not to start them. And, you know, like they ended up playing.
Yeah, I mean, as I was making the starting 11 graphic, I was like, interesting. Okay, we're going with them. And I was a little bit hesitant to see what kind of output they were going to give, only because you felt that they were coming into this one maybe a little bit reserved. But, I mean, Christian, you were there. It looked like it was just never missed a beat. It looked like they were just playing recently on Friday against San Luis when they didn't even feature in that game. I mean, when you talk about these players and what impact they have, sometimes you kind of don't get the full grasp of it when you're watching it on TV. Live is a different story. You get to see movements on and off the ball. Talk to me a little bit of what it meant to have Fidalgo and Zendejas in this starting 11 for this match.
No, I think they were the key factors. I was gonna bring up Zendejas and the fact that he was playing on the left hand side in this game, because Zavita took over the right side. And it seemed like he was playing there all his life. I mean, he really didn't skip a beat, linking up well with Richard Sanchez and Fidalgo and Chicote Calderon on the left hand side. And it was very interesting to kind of see that perspective live. Like you mentioned, the movement that all these players make, they're very in sync. They know what they're doing. They're very in chemistry. No matter who is in what position, it seems like everyone knows where everyone is. And I think that's the beautiful part about this team, is that we're so coherent, and we know what style we want to play. And I think that just took New England by surprise, because I don't think for any second of the match they were in control. And That must be like a daunting thing to kind of live with, especially in your own home stadium, right? And we marched in there. People thought we couldn't do it on a cold and rainy night in Foxborough, and we went in there and we really, really handed it to them. Like I said, though, I did those two players you mentioned, those Zendejas and Fidalgo. They were definitely part of this, I guess, early onslaught that we kind of presented on Tuesday night.
I think it was impressive the way that they came in and just kind of demonstrated what they were capable of doing. And so, yeah, it's two players that I think that if they don't feature in this game, I don't think the result is the same outcome. And you see glimpses of it, Chris, because obviously the game that just passed against Santos over the weekend, the minute Fidalgo comes in, the minute Zendeja comes in, this team, it's a different team. It's day and night.
Yeah, and it continues to make me question certain players on the team, right? I don't know how you guys – I feel like we've talked about this, but Richard Sanchez just feels like a pointless player at this point. I don't know if you guys agree with it. I don't know if it's just me.
I thought he had an okay game against New England.
I meant more against Santos.
Yeah, that's a different story. Yeah. I think that game was a little bit of a jet lag game. I'm not gonna lie.
I could see that, but how many games do you kind of get that from him? You know, that's what I start feeling. And we're going to get into this right now, like, or a little bit later about Fidalgo leaving and all that. And it just makes me feel like if you have to bring in another guy, like not just one guy, two guys, you know, because I don't know how much I can rely on Richard Sanchez anymore. I feel like it.
I don't think you can. And look, this is a conversation we're most likely going to have later towards the end of the season, probably around the summertime when all the rumors start kind of going and hitting the fan. But, you know, I think right now he's a depth player and that's all you can really expect from him. And so to kind of set ourselves with a high standard for Richard, I think at this point would be foolish. Which is ridiculous because he is an América player. And at one point he was, quote unquote, one of our best center mids. So, yeah.
I mean, he's using a corner spot. And that's when I get very, like, sometimes the Mexican talent is the one that has the higher expectation. And for me, it's like, well, this guy's using a corner spot. He's most likely getting paid better than the Mexican player. Like I think at this point, you kind of, it's the same thing I had an issue with Federico Viñas, right? I don't know. I always feel like the backup player should be either Mexican or just a very tight competitive position or you know, an academy player. And I feel like when you're wasting a foreigner spot in a player like that, it just feels like, you know, what's the point in having you if you're brought in for real, either really good depth or real changing impact talent, and I don't think Richard has that anymore.
Yeah, I agree. I think Richard's dwindled to a point where you probably don't see him here next season, but I think he still adds a little bit of something. I mean, he did score a goal in the final against Tigres, so I do think he still has his merits with America, and I don't think the story is completely told, but we might be getting to the last couple of chapters. Dylan, Christian put it perfectly. América was able to do it on a cold, rainy night in Foxborough, meaning maybe América is able to do it on a cold, rainy night against Stoke. But what about this team impressed you overall in this game that really kind of set the tone for you to be like, okay, we can be, again, real contenders for this CONCACAF Champions Cup?
Yeah, I think regardless of the way this team played, you know, I thought this team... Obviously, this is the potential this team has, and I think regardless, you know, as much as I might have said that, you know, the form seems kind of shaky in CONCACAF, the way things have gone, this team still somehow has been able to pull through. I think they're contenders regardless. I think they've shown that, you know, even throughout the league in some games, you know, especially some games whenever we say that, you know, it's not going to go this way. You know, it's kind of a throwaway game. Let's rest these players so we can have everybody ready come CONCACAF. And, you know, I thought this team just played, you know, the right style of football. You know, everything was very athletic. Everything just kind of felt very smooth and crisp to me. Now, how this will go the second leg, I think that's something we'll kind of have to wait and see, and we'll talk about too, because not to knock, and I'm knocking on wood here, hoping, you know, I'm not jinxing myself here, but, you know, I just feel like anything can happen considering how, you know, the first leg went against Esteli, and then the second leg against Chivas. You know, it's just kind of one of those things to where is this one of those legs that's going to happen that we don't expect anything to happen?
I couldn't have better write myself right there. I do think that there is a sense of like, okay, we've showcased really good moments. Now, can we just overall find a consistency and close out a series, right? Just kind of well-rounded series, I think is what we're all looking for. Midwestern Cholo says...
Go. And like I was mentioning earlier too, like, you know, this team, you know, regardless of how frustrating it could be, you know, this team is still finding ways to get that win. But, you know, one week, one game, it's good, it's clean, it's crisp. The next game, it's very sloppy. You feel like we're, you know, scraping by for the win. You know, it's that consistency of being inconsistent. And, you know, form is one thing, but, you know, if we're getting the win at the end of the day, that's all that really matters. If we're going to advance, you know, tomorrow, which obviously I think we have a foot in the door of advancing, then sure, you know, I'll take it, you know, over, you know, the playing perfectly and playing good. But I just the way this team has gone, with the way some injuries have gone, and, you know, playing in these two tournaments, you know, playing in so little amount of rest days, you know, things like that are going to happen. It's just how this team is going to really fight and be able to advance, you know, and to keep going. And because regardless, like, this team is a contender. This team should lift it at the end of the day.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, to kind of piggyback off what you said, we were expecting this heavy amount of games. We were expecting this quick turnaround, right? That's why we said at the beginning of the season, the importance of having depth, right? And in keeping those key players, which I think was vital. So Midwestern Cholo saying they played like giants of CONCACAF. Lucky Ducky said, I was there. Club America way, way too athletic, skilled, and prepared. New England seemed stunned by their level of play. Then he goes on to add, can only hope Club America takes the cup. I have to agree. I think this is for the first time that, you know, America, well, I guess I'll put it the second time, because I think America demonstrated that they were the giants and the favorites in this competition against Chivas in the first leg. But Christian, I have to admit, you know, a 4-0 stomp out was not in my play cards, was not in my book. But I guess credit where credit is due. And you know, does this kind of give an essence of what this team was originally in the League's Cup match after the St. Louis game, where we kind of, maybe all of us were a little bit too eager to jump on this Harine hype train?
Yeah, no. But I think that was a little different. I think going into this game, I was trying to find the message to see if I actually did say it, but I think I remember telling one of you guys that I felt extremely confident against this New England team because they had no wins in the current season. Mm-hmm. Right now, they look like they're not playing well. And us going in there with the full 11, we should be able to handle business. Maybe not 4-0 business, but I was definitely expecting a 2-0 minimum. 3-0 was also kind of in the cards too. But I think we just went in and did what we had to do. I think it sent the message to, I guess, our next opponent, which would be Pachuca, that, you know, we're not taking this lightly, that we want to go for it all. And I guess they sent one right back to us the next day.
Yeah, they saying, did. You can
do it too, right? So it's gonna be very interesting how both teams develop heading into that semi-final tie. And I'm going to put us in there already, because I honestly don't think New England can score 4 on us or 5 on us without us scoring one in the Estadio Azteca, right? So I'm going to just go ahead, and no disrespect to Herediano and or New England. It's just I think that Pachuca and América are just the better teams right now. So I'll go ahead and start, you know, mentally preparing for a future semifinal tie, right? Which I do believe that we're going to play the second leg in Pachuca. So I think that's going to be another different element for this team, because I think we've been used to getting the second leg at the Azteca. Some people I've talked to prefer having the second leg away. Other people, you know, would rather have that kind of securing comfort of having the second leg at the Azteca. I'm curious to see what you guys think, but it should be an interesting one leading up to it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think, I mean, personally, my personal preference would be close it at the Azteca. If you, for whatever reason, and God forbid, you need to play the comeback kid again, just because of the memories we have against Pachuca. And I mean, I don't got to go so back as to whenever we, that whole Bruno Valdez sticking out his hand, and we almost had it at the end. But yeah, I mean, for me, second leg would be crucial. I mean, you never know. I mean, miracles could happen. We could win tomorrow, and then Pachuca could somehow find a draw, and that would put us point-wise in a very good position. You just don't know these things. So, I mean, we'll see. But I'll let everyone else answer.
Oh, yeah. I think we need to get the home game in the second leg. I think next game against New England, we have to treat it like the first game. I think one thing that I felt, I know we're all saying we didn't expect a 4-0, but once the game started going, I expected a 7-0, if I'm being honest with you. Like, I don't know if that's like too confident, but I feel like
Chris is wild.
The way they were giving us all the hey, bro, let's just look at it from the way they were standing on the field, right? The way they're positioning, and like we gave them life because we weren't attacking anymore. When the little moment that they had in the beginning, I think it was the beginning of the second half, like it came from us not attacking anymore. And to me, it's like, it felt like if we kept continued playing the way we were playing, easily 7-0. It really sounds exaggerated, but it's the same thing like the Cruz Azul game, right? Where we did score 7. It's like they're giving it to us and we should take advantage. There was a moment, I don't know if you guys agree or seen it. There was a moment where we were attacked, but we played with the ball way too much. And New England was just waiting for us to do something with the ball. Like, they weren't pressuring. They weren't anything. It was literally pass. And, like, nothing would come out of it. We just passed it back all the way to Malagón. And to me, that was frustrating because, like I said, I mean, like Ivan said, we need to get all these goals in, right, and not receive these goals because we want the final at the Azteca. This isn't going to be a two-game final, right? It's going to be one-game final. So there's a chance we don't even get a game in the Azteca in the final. So why not go out there and score? And I think New England might have to really struggle against the altitude. I know a lot of people try to say, oh, it doesn't exist. It exists. You know, other athletes from other sports that go to Mexico City talk about it, that they have to be there for at least a month just to be comfortable. And we're talking like high-level athletes, right? So for me, like, we need to take advantage of that. We need to we went to their cold and performed. Now they need to come and perform to our altitude. And I think America just needs to attack. You'll score another 4, score more. And it's complicated. We're going to get into the Pachuca again when it happens. It's complicated. But for me, I'd rather have that second leg in our home, because I do think it's going to be one of those things where the atmosphere does matter, especially in these type of games.
I agree. Dylan?
Yeah, I definitely agree too. I want that second leg, you know, against Pachuca at home, because somebody remind me, were we in Hidalgo when we played Pachuca earlier this year?
Yes, we were.
Yeah. And you lose that game. I mean, sure, you know, this first go around, you know, especially if you're playing in Hidalgo, I mean, like, you know, you could easily be in the same boat, you know, down 2-1, but you get that second leg, especially in that second, you know, the atmosphere is going to be different, you know. It's going to be, you know, comeback kids time, you know, really pretty much, even though you're down a goal. But you're going to have more of that advantage, you know, especially at that home field when you have it. So I definitely think that second leg is at home in the Azteca is going to be very important, because you've already faced this team once and you're going to have to face them twice again, you know. And if you want the advantage and play home the second leg and wrap it up there, then, you know, that's something you really have to go out and want.
Yeah, I, again, agree to that statement. Well, I mean, I guess that would pretty much wrap up the first leg. Is there anything else you guys want to mention before we talk on the second? No? I'll notate two things. One, we were on turf, right?
Yes.
It wasn't grass, right?
It was turf, yes.
Very impressive performance from us on turf, because we struggle whenever it comes to turf. And second, I just think because he deserves his flowers. Malagón, again, impressive. Didn't have to get called on very much often, but the two saves that he did were phenomenal. And the one save where he kind of just parries it to the side was a little bit exaggerated. But hey, I'll give it to him. But yeah, I mean, it was raining and it was turf, so that's why I said
I'll, better than I'll, the Ochoa? Though. Question mark.
Oof. Maybe at the current moment, but
maybe
we'll see. Yeah, well, because he's not Ochoa's not playing right now, so he's on vacation. So
fair.
We'll see once he starts playing again. But yeah, overall, look. Impressive 4-0. And I think I was hounding you guys on the chat whenever we were up 2-0. And I was like, we need another one. We cannot get complacent. We need another one. And then they go on and score the third one. Enough. Yeah, it wasn't.
Do I need to find that?
Yeah, go ahead, find it. And then the third one goes in, and I was like, all right, cool, fine, whatever. Then I lay down, watch the game peacefully. And then they score the fourth one, and I was like, look, it's an added bonus. I'll take it. Absolutely take it. It was more than fine with 3-0. Then you go back to that. You score that other one, and now we're talking about a much, much, much different game. And so, yeah, let's get into the second leg. But before we do so, let's talk a little bit about some club news that kind of broke the internet for just a mere 20, 30 minutes. So I know that we've talked about it, and I know a lot of people are saying that they're excited about this potential. Christian, we all know that Fidalgo is on his last months with America, or at least it may seem to be the case. I know there is no official club at the moment bidding for him. But talk to me about this rumor that Caliente TV just, I would imagine, I don't know if they actually made it up or if this is actually true, how much reliable source that they can be. But the rumor is that Liverpool midfielder Thiago Alcantara was, his representative was in Mexico City talking to America about a possible move in the summer. Obviously, he would be the replacement for Fidalgo if Fidalgo was to depart. Christian, do you buy or do you sell?
I don't buy anything at this stage of the game. I think that it's just a lot of, you know, I guess clicks. You know, just I think we've all learned that at this moment we can't believe anything. If it happens to come true in the summer, then we'll talk about it then. But for right now, I'm not believing anything. You can tell me any player that's rumored to come to America, and I won't believe you right now. So if you want my personal opinion, I don't buy it. I don't believe it. It's just, you know, that representative could have been representing a whole bunch of players, right? Didn't have to be just him, right? But I guess maybe because he's the biggest star, they just linked him to us, right? And it could have been for numerous reasons, right? We just don't know exactly what the meeting was about. That part I do believe. If you want, I guess, some piece of truth to it, I do think that part was true. It's just that the whole part of Thiago actually coming, being interested in coming, it's just something I don't buy at this moment.
Okay, Dylan, same question: buy or sell?
I'm selling. If this team can't bring Sergio Ramos in, then why should I believe they bring in Thiago?
Yeah, that's a very well way of putting it. Chris, you buying or selling?
Yeah, I don't necessarily believe it, but I do have questions about the whole stock market, right? Our expectation is that these type of players are going to be linked to us, right? That's our expectation. Not necessarily that's going to happen, but I do question, let's say it is real, right? Is this the type of names that we should be getting used to? Is this the type of signings that we should get? You know, because I don't know if you guys remember when Ricardo Peláez was our GM, right, our directivo, when he first got here. And I'm sure Ivan probably remembers more, you know, clearly about this. But he said, "Don't expect fichaje bombas. We're trying to rebuild. We're trying to have something solid and not gamble on things, right?" And since then, like, even though he left and everything, I feel like that's been our identity. Not necessarily gambling on these big name signings. It's more of a, you know what, we're going to get solid pieces that are going to fit because we know they're going to fit. So I want to ask you guys, do you guys feel these type of big name players, don't even look at injury history, because I know that's gonna, if it does become real, that's what we're gonna end up talking about
yeah, this player. Yeah, that's where I was gonna go.
But just look at it from a talent perspective. Does this player come in and really make an impact in this league, or is it necessarily just a flashy signing like Jeremy Mendes was, and we're gonna have all this depth that doesn't even matter?
I think, as far as players that should be linked to us, I do expect Thiago-esque caliber players to be linked and could well necessarily come in with America. Now, how does the financial situation look this summer? a lot of question marks are going to be around as to whether or not some of these players go, what some of these contract negotiations are looking like. We haven't gotten a renewal from Henry yet. We assume that's pretty much in the books, but what does that mean salary-wise? Like, where does that place him? What does that leave margin-wise for other players to come in? So a lot of questions revolving around this summer transfer window, but I do expect players of that caliber to be linked and most likely come in as well. I mean, if you do have the budget for it and if you do have the foreigner spots for it, a Thiago-esque player I think fits perfectly well with this America side. I would just be hesitant on buying anything 30 and over. I just think that's not a good, you know, use of your money. If you're talking 28, I'll give you a pass for sure. But once you start getting into that 30 range, I think that's maybe when you think about it and you maybe say, probably not a good fit for us. Unless you're bringing Guido Rodriguez back, which I think he's fine. So that's my answer, at least.
Yeah. And Thiago at 32, like, what are you going to get? Like, what, 2 years out of
him? One season. Let's be honest.
Yeah. But I mean, like, but at that point, what do you do? Give him 2 years and then he plays one good season, then you try to sell? Like, are you even make profit back at that point?
No, because the value is going to dip more than when you buy a car off the lot.
Well, let me counter that, because I mean, you guys are making good points, but how much does value in selling players matter when you have investors at this point, when you're making money from a different perspective at this point? It's not like whatever I bring in, I have to like sell, right? It's not that perspective anymore. It's more of a, if the investors want to invest, you know, which mind you, I just remembered that a lot of these investors are also investing in the Estadio Azteca's remodeling, right? Or restructure. So
yeah.
I'm just curious, like, how much does that exactly matter? In like, let's say you do bring in a 32-year-old, and let's say the best you could get out of him is 3-4 years, right? Which in Mexico is how many seasons? How many, like, seasons, six. Is that? Four. Yeah, so you get a good amount of seasons in him, right? But you can't sell them, you're not making that money back. But does it matter if you're an investor? Like, are you looking at it from like, well, you better bring in someone young because you can make 20 million or something? Or is it just like, it doesn't matter anymore? Like, these investors are investing whatever, like, you're using it to win, and that's where they're going to get their money worth.
I'll say something and I want Chris to rebuttal after me. I think that if it wasn't for the remodeling of the Estadio Azteca, I would be more on board with what you were saying, Chris, in regards to these investors and putting that money. Because you have to remember, when you're buying this stock for America, it gets distributed to America, to Estadio Azteca, to a magazine, a magazine printer, like different little companies. And I'm not saying it all gets distributed evenly, but I do think right now, majority of that money is going to be pumped into the Azteca. They're already 6 months behind in regards to what they were supposed to already be doing remodeling. So it's going to cost a lot more now than what the original plan was. Go, Christian.
I mean, so I think there's different ways to view this. I don't think we're doubting that he doesn't have the talent, right? Because we have all know what he's done in the past couple of years in Europe at the biggest stage. There's no doubt that he could bring a very, I guess, more calm, balanced midfield mindset to this locker room, even when if Fidalgo does leave. And I do think if we do qualify for the Club World Cup, I think that will be an important piece to have. Even if you guys are all agreeing that he'll give us 1 to 2 seasons, we only need that good showing at the Club World Cup. And then, you know, after that, you know, we could then decide what to do. But I think you have to treat every player differently. I think with Thiago, if you get a good showing at the Club World Cup, maybe you get another CONCACAF Champions Cup in there, maybe another league title, and he was a part of that, I think that your money was well invested. in regards to like maybe a Sebastian Cáceres or a younger player per se, I think there, then that's when you're trying to see, okay, let me see how much I can get out of him because he was a young kind of bet in a sense. So those are the players you kind of want to make money, like Chris was alluding to. I don't think that Thiago's a player that you're going to buy him at, let's say, $8 million and try to sell him at $15 at a later point because that's just not going to happen. At 35, at 30, 34, 35, that's just not going to happen, right? No one's going to do that. So I think it's more of a just like a sporting gain. And if he can help you achieve new titles and be that much more important within the region and around the world potentially, I think then that money well invested, because then that just goes into other things, jerseys, TV money, a lot of external factors that I guess a named player per se can bring to you.
Well, I think you have your answers there, Chris, unless Dylan, you want to piggyback on that?
No, I mean, I'm kind of on your side a little bit, Ivan, too. I mean, right now, especially with the World Cup, you know, coming up around the bend, that's just where everything's going to go at the time being. And you know, even if we did go with Thiago, you know, like you said, you get that one season out of him and maybe two. And then what do? You try to sell. I mean, you're going to want to at least try to get your money back. I mean, because I think selling the players, we're going to get a good chunk of your money for the time being. So, but I mean, I think once that passes and everything, I can see, you know, where we can, you know, go for those players that have that good experience over the 30 mark. But I just think at this point in time, you know, with the way things are going with everything and, you know, like I said, the World Cup right around the bend, I just think that's not really the move at the time being for this club.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how this summer looks like, but I just wanted to bring it up because it did stir the America pot on Twitter. So I was like, you know what, it'll make for a good conversation. We have a comment in the chat, Ricardo, saying having a bad team means the stock drops. Good point, Chris. Now that America has gone public, the team needs to stay on top and have an exciting team in order for that stock to go up. And right, whenever you're talking about stock market and stuff like that, obviously bringing in a name like that and that caliber obviously is going to increase the value of your club. AP Jr. saying, I agree with Ivan. We should limit our transfer at the age of 30 max. But to get the best out of our players, I think it's time we should buy a bomba fichaje or two? Okay. I do agree.
And this is what I want to ask you guys. I wanted to ask you guys too. And my bad if I'm dragging this, but I'm not trying to. But it also makes me wonder if, right, if you take advantage of the fact that the World Cup is going to be partially in Mexico, right? Do you take advantage and bring in a big name player for those stock reasons? Because let's be honest, even jersey sales is going to be high, right? And we saw what Miami is doing. And I know it's messy, right? You're going to say, well, we're not going to bring in Ronaldo because that's really the only thing you could really compare. But do you go after these big name players to take advantage of the fact that you went public? You know, obviously it has to be a fit, but do you take advantage of that?
Yes, at some point, America has to. Do I think it's going to be this summer? I don't think so.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, then. I guess the last bit of news I had was the New Jersey leak that's come out. I know you've all seen it. I know everyone listening to this most likely has. If you guys haven't, go over to our Instagram, go over to our Twitter. If we post a video of this on TikTok, I'll put an image of the concept up on the screen. You guys liking it? Give me 1 out of 5.
4.
4. Nice. Dylan? A 5. Okay.
I'll give it a 4.
A 4. Dylan, did you say 5? I thought you said 5.
I said 6.
Oh. I don't know what's going on anymore. But I give it a solid 4 too. It's really nice. I like the idea of going back to a more traditional yellow. I think for, what do you guys want to say, good 10 years, we've been with the Azul Crema vibe. So going back to that yellow, we'll see how it goes, but I like it. I absolutely like it. Ricardo saying, so no Benzema and Neymar this summer then? Probably not. Absolutely not.
Hey, Benzema might be an option. If you read into what's going on with him in Saudi Arabia, I'm not saying, like, oh, keep an eye out there, but it's
positive. I think you say that a lot for a lot of players, though, because a lot of them complain, like, my wife can't do this, my wife can't do that. So there's like they're unhappy there. They just obviously kind of went for the money.
Yeah. Of course.
We don't got Saudi Arabia money, though.
We don't. Sadly, we do not. We need.
But he wants to leave. So, I mean, you never know.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Whenever
our type of money.
I don't know if we can afford a salary, I'm gonna be honest with you. So I guess that will be that. Yeah. But all right, let's close out the show with the preview of the second leg. The word of the day has to be consistency here, Dylan, only because I feel like it's already been regurgitated so much. And because América needs to close out this leg and finally give us a good two-legged series and where we can kind of, okay, go to bed soundly and know that, okay, América got the job done. Do I expect another 4-0? Absolutely not. Am I expecting a boring game? A little bit. But what about this game needs to happen in where América walks away with a victory? What do you need to see from this team from the get-go?
Like I said, I think an early goal would be great. I think an early goal would get the, you know, I think shake a little bit of those nerves off. I mean, I got called out a while ago too about how I'm so negative. So, I apologize for just being a little bit of a
yeah, let me find the comment. You know?
but you know, it's true though. I mean, like what series through CONCACAF have we actually had so that were well-rounded? We haven't. I think league form has been a whole lot better than CONCACAF has been so far. And, you know, in doing so, I think a lot of this is still have to do with the midfield. You know, obviously, I think, you know, obviously getting that early goal is something that's going to be crucial. Obviously, looking at Henry, you know, always my guy, you know, I would love to see a goal from him too. And, you know, inch him a little bit closer to that 100 goals with the club. But the early goal is going to be, I think, necessary too, because I think that's going to more than it has now, but solidify us to really to be going through the next round. And then obviously that a little bit of a step closer, hopefully we're doing our part on the end, you know, hope we're just got to, you know, hope Pachuca slips up too, but that also puts us in the solidifying us that we get that second leg at home.
No, absolutely. I agree. Chris, Christian, whenever Brian was on the podcast, I had mentioned to you guys, where does América place as far as the ranking tables go as to favorites of winning this competition? Many of us, Chris, you're the only one to put us first, but the majority of us agreed we were about third tier. Like, we weren't first, we weren't second, we were about third place. And I pegged us a little bit down after that Chivas result. The Real Estelí game wasn't too... you know, too great. First leg, second leg wasn't even that great, to be honest. So we haven't really had a well-rounded season in CONCACAF Champions Cup. If América solidifies themselves, has a good result at home against New England, I'm not saying, again, I'm not expecting a goleada, but even if we do get one, do you think we catapult up the rankings and we are 100% the best team in the region? Or do you think there's a Pachuca crawling there and thinking, okay, I mean, these guys are doing something that we can't necessarily call ourselves the favorites just yet?
I want to say yes. I think that if we do give a good performance tomorrow night, I will put us at number one for sure.
Okay. Chris, I know we're already number one for you. So what does América need to do in order to stay at that number one spot tomorrow night?
Well, I want to retouch on that because I feel like so when we're having that conversation, right, we kind of didn't give Pachuca their flowers. We kind of pushed them to the side. We only talked about Monterrey, Tigres, and Miami, right? We kind of just said, Pachuca, they're too green. They're too many youngsters. I think, obviously it's in hindsight, right? We already seen what they've done. I think we're second now. I don't think we're first. And for the simple fact that, one, they are our kryptonite. Let's call it what it is. I do think that they've had our number. They're playing good. And as of right now, I have a second. And the only way that changes is if we end up scoring more goals and getting that home game in the second leg. If that happens, then I will stick to my earlier statement, which was we're number one, because my counter argument was, yes, America's playing bad, but sit down and watch the other games, and no one's really playing amazing. Monterrey's not playing amazing. Miami wasn't playing amazing. Tigres wasn't playing amazing. A lot of these teams weren't playing great. And while America did have really ugly downs, right, which were those that first game against Real Esteli and the second leg with Chivas, they had higher ups, in my opinion, which was the second leg and the first leg in different, you know, in those games. So for me, now looking at it, I think Pachuca right now is one, but if America has another performance where they completely dominate, mind you, New England, where they're at, they overachieved already because they're a really bad team just based off what I've seen, right? To me, they are a very bad team. But if we get that second leg at home, I do think that's where you look at America differently. I do think that's where you kind of – it's more even, but I like our chances better at home in the second leg than away in the second leg. So it's going to depend on that for me.
We're going to need a little miracle from Eddie Diano, right?
Well, it's also depending how much we score, no?
Yeah, I mean, either way, if Pachuca wins tomorrow, then they automatically they go above us in points,
so
right?
It's a tire or they lose. I thought it was goal-based. That's what I thought it was.
Well, right now it's because of the point-wise system. Let me see. Hold on. I'll do the quick math. While I do the quick math, Christian, how strong of a starting 11 are we getting? Are we getting the full 100%, 70, 80? What is it looking like for tomorrow?
So I think tomorrow, I think the team has to not make the mistake of kind of coming in the game overconfident as they have in the past two series. I think that, even though we're not going to go full 100, in my opinion, whoever is out there, I think we're going to have a very similar lineup to the one we had, against Santos. I think that everyone needs to come in just prepared and just prepared to play a great game and kind of just keep the momentum going. But I wanted to just make a little maybe hot take on your guys' points earlier. I think that maybe we're overrating Pachuca in a sense. I think that Herediano, like New England, already overachieved in this tournament. No one expected them to beat Toluca. They shouldn't even be in this stage. If it wasn't for a complete meltdown from Toluca, I just don't think that team is better than us in any way. I think that their win against us early in the season had to do a lot with kind of our faults. Too much traveling, a lot of injuries on our end. We just weren't at 100, and that's not an excuse because they beat us fair and square. But I'm saying now in this moment, if it's 100 v 100, I just don't think they're better than us in any shape or way or form. I understand what they did on Saturday night against Tigres is a statement, but it's also tying into just Tigres' season. They haven't been playing well. I think Pachuca just rode off their momentum against Herediano. But like, honestly, I don't think we're gonna have that hard of a tie against them, if I'm being honest.
Can I add to what you're saying? Because it's funny. I don't really remember the game against Pachuca, but I do remember feeling that we were completely dominated. For some reason, I thought we lost 3-0, and I look back and I was 2-1. And I'm looking at the lineup. So I get what you're saying, and I completely, like, I agree to an extent. I don't think they're overrated, but we're talking about overachieving, right? I think that's what they're doing. They're overachieving. I look at our lineup for that game.
That's a fair way to put it.
I look at our lineup for this game. DeRozan started, right? Mm-hmm. That was like one of his worst games, his first start. It was just a very bad game for him. Quiñones was the 9. Cabecita was the left winger. He's not here no more. The midfield was Fidalgo, Jonathan Dos Santos, and Sendejas. And then our defense, like, this isn't a defense that we're probably going to have. We had Kevin and Chicote on the sides, right? And we had Igor and Israel. So now you really think about it, which players are missing. Well, Sendejas is going to be on top. He was playing the 10 that game. And I remember he looked weak. He was getting bodied.
And he was baffled.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So I remember that. So Sendejas will be on the right. Quiñones will be on the left. Henry starts at the 9. And you're going to have Valdez. And then Israel isn't starting at the center back, right? He might start at right back, but that's a whole different thing. So, yes, I agree with you from the sense that we are overrating them because we weren't at our strongest. But I do think we should give them credit because they're playing really good. For what they are, right? They're a super youth team, right? They have very few key players.
100%. I'm not knocking the fact they don't play well. It's just that I think that maybe we're, I guess the overall sense I'm getting from the fans, because obviously all of us are putting us against them in the semifinal, right? I don't think no one's down. I think the sense is that we're going into it like nervous or scared. But in my feeling, I'm not nervous or scared. I think that we're gonna handle them pretty well. Maybe not to like a 4-0, but I don't think in either game we should have that many problems, is what I'm trying to say. I think that right now we're just playing at a level that no team, or I haven't seen from any team in the CONCACAF region, and I just don't see them giving us troubles.
I think it's just the ghost of Pachuca. That's it.
Well, what happened?
So do you put us at 1 then? Because
1,000%.
The question was, you know, so you put us at 1, where the 1,000% to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. We'll see if Fox Sports' power rankings say the same thing tomorrow whenever they tweet out their ridiculous graphic.
I know Tata agrees.
Yeah, he does. He does. I remember him saying that in his press conference. But okay, I mean, overall, look, for this game tomorrow, I think we all expect America to come out and give us a performance, right? Not the same performance, but a performance in where they score 1, maybe 2 goals. Again, I don't expect this to be the most thrilling match. I only see 2 outcomes. Either New England's going to come out swinging and try to save some face and go out with a fight, which would then mean that it would play to our advantage, because then we get to soak up the pressure and get in the counter with all with all that space and with all the pace that we have. Or New England comes in and just says, you know what? We're just going to ride out the 90 minutes. We're not really going to attack. We're not really going to force anything. And America just kind of passes the ball around, finds a goal here and there. Nothing spectacular. Pretty boring game. I feel for AJ because this is a late one for you guys. It's at 7:30 p.m. Pacific, 10:30 Eastern, 9:30 for you, Dylan. So AJ's going to have his hard time keeping awake if it's the second outcome. So we'll see what the matchup is. So my question to you guys now is your prediction for the game come tomorrow. America versus New England, Estadio Azteca, second leg of the quarterfinal. Christian, what is your prediction?
A very, very dull 2-0.
Dull 2-0. At least 2 goals, though. I guess that's worth staying awake for. Dylan?
I'll go 2-1.
2-1. Wow. New England finds a way to score. Okay.
Yeah.
Chris?
A very boring 3-0, which doesn't make sense, but I do think we pull off.
Okay. All right. Optimism.
If you want me to, I'll explain it, but I don't know if you guys want to hear me yap.
It's okay. No, we agree. I think there's a way of getting 3-0 and having a very dull game. Because the 3 goals could come very early in the game, and then you just kind of flat out die from there point on. Ricardo saying, Chris is way too positive. The Eagle Eye Podcast has its yin and its yang every episode. I guess there is some very good counterbalance here. I guess it's all of you guys are...
me or Christian. I don't know if he's talking about...
No, he said Chris. You would have put Christian. Okay. I guess I'll go one up all of you guys and put 4-0 again. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but...
Oh, thank you guys for coming.
So why are you predicting it?
Well, someone's got to say it. Someone's got to say it. I mean, I joked about it last time when I said 3-0 against Chivas and it happened. So,
what are the chances based on the last two series that it becomes one of these games where we're just mad at the TV at what we're watching and it's just horrible?
Hopefully it's not that. That's not the case, you know?
Mm-hmm. What are the chances, though? Like, what do you think it's possible?
No.
Not at home.
I don't think so, no.
Okay. I agree.
All righty, then. Well, with that said, anything else you guys want to add on before we wrap it up? No?
No. I think that you know, tomorrow just... Don't expect a lot of flashiness. I think we're just going to go in there, get the job done, move on, because we have a very, very, very interesting matchup on Saturday.
Yes, we do. We got the Luka. That should be a fun one. All right. Well, if you guys have nothing else to add on, I just want to say thank you guys for making it out. Chris, Christian, Dylan, as always, it's a pleasure having you guys come on the show.
Of course, it's a pleasure having you host that.
There you go. Thank you, Dylan. Chris's health advice of the day: make sure you stay hydrated.
A lot of water.
Alrighty then. Well, you guys have a wonderful time. Take care. We'll be back next week to talk all things Club America, get you guys closer to the start of the Liguilla, and hopefully a preview of what's to come against Pachuca in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Alright, with that said, you guys take care, and as always, Arriba America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.